So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Rob, I'm sorry I got distracted for just a little bit there. I got distracted because there is not a single human being, and I include 50 Cent, whomever, there is not a human being that dislikes another human being more than Isaiah Thomas dislikes Michael Jordan. There's really not. We don't have to play the audio. We don't have to spend too much time on this, Rob, but Isaiah Thomas today on NBA TV said, when you say who's the greatest, why do you guys talk about the guy who just gave you shoes and some cool warm-ups? That's what he said about Mike. That's all Michael Jordan did was give us some cool sneakers and a tire. I'm telling you, that man, he is committed to hating Michael Jordan. I love it. I love a 30-year petty beef that you have with an individual. That man gonna go to his grave hating Michael Jordan. It's funny to me. It is an undying disdain for this other individual. All right, let's get back to the Chiefs. I want to play two pieces of audio for you guys. Let's start with Nate Taylor. Nate Taylor was on the morning show earlier today. Shout out to Nate Taylor. And he was asked on what's the latest with Rashee Rice.
I want to make it very clear to the audience that, like, there's been no police report filed for domestic abuse, whether that's in Dallas, Texas, which I believe is where she lives now, and obviously in Kansas, which is where she lived over the past, you know, couple of seasons. It's really grim. Football obviously takes a third, fourth step back to all of this, but if the allegations are true, if there's evidence to corroborate what she said, then it spells doom for Rashee Rice's football career, in my opinion. And so we'll just keep on it in terms of the reporting and see if she comes forward with a police report. That is yet to happen. But, domestic violence is terrible. We all know this. It's horrific. The damage it does to the victims, the fact that there are two children involved, basic tragic in a lot of ways. So just honestly terrible based on the appearance of it. Now we're just going to try to see, and I know the NFL is involved. The Chiefs are aware of this. We should probably make that clear too. Mm-hmm. They're probably trying to gather as much research or as much information and evidence as we can, or the public will hopefully be interested in demanding as this moves forward.
So that was Nate Taylor earlier today. There are some things that are just interesting in this, and that's why, at least for me, I'm taking a step back and let's see how it plays itself out. Oh, well, what about my answer to it is, I don't know. There are some things that are interesting about this that I want to learn more. I want to get more information. I want more investigation. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but a couple of days ago, another young lady posted a picture and it looked like Rashee Rice is her boyfriend. Then we get this post a couple of days ago from the ex. That's interesting. I wonder what happens in that situation. I'm curious what happens in this situation. Police report. Has one ever been filed? Are there 911 calls? Have there been calls to the house? What's happening? What's been going on behind the scenes? Right now, we only have one piece of information. We have one singular Instagram post. And it's a lot in the post. Don't get me wrong. It is a lot. It is a lengthy caption. You got spouses of Chiefs players commenting on there. Girls, speak your truth. And it's a lot in that one Instagram post. It was 21 pictures attached to it. It was a lot of stuff. But I would just caution anybody. We've been here before. We've been here before with a Chiefs wide receiver heading into a contract year. This is not new for us. If you've been around, this is not your first trip around the block. I'm not jumping to any conclusions. I'm not forming any conclusion. I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to see how this plays itself out. I'm going to see what information comes out of this story, and I will adjust my opinion accordingly. The only opinion that I currently have about Rashee Rice is this. For the last 18 months, he has brought you nothing but trouble. Nothing but trouble. I mean, since the moment the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, all we have talked about is Rashee Rice off the field. From the moment they won the championship. He had an offseason in which he got into a high-speed car crash. In the middle of dealing with the high-speed car crash, he had another incident in which somebody says that he assaulted them inside the club. Fast forward to now, there is a lengthy Instagram post that you physically assaulted this woman. The mother of your kids. Two of them. It has been nothing but trouble. And if you are the Chiefs, you have to be having this conversation. Is the juice worth the squeeze? Are you more trouble than you are worth? We all know that NFL teams, people, you reach a certain limit with an individual. Man, you're too much of a headache. You're too much of a problem. Over the last 18 months, we have spent very little time talking about Rashee Rice, the football player. Very little time. I would say that we talked about Rashee Rice, the football player, for maybe 3 weeks. Maybe 3 weeks we talked about Rashee Rice, the football player. It was right when he was coming back. Other than that, it's been, well, what's going to happen with the suspension? When is he going to be suspension? Is that too much of a suspension? What's the penalty for the suspension? Is that too much for it? Now you're in another issue. Bro, when is it about ball? When is it about football? It has not been about football with you. It is another offseason in which it is not going to be about football. It's more questions about what's going on with this situation. Are you going to be on the team? Are you going to get cut? Are you going to get traded? It's just, you can't, this is not sustainable long-term with this player. It is not sustainable. You cannot continue to do this with Rashee Rice. Speaking of wide receivers, I want to play this for you with Nate Taylor. Here he is talking about their wide receiver coach. He is no longer employed. His name is Connor Embry.
From the day they traded Tyreek Hill away, they have yet to have a 1,000-yard receiver. And again, given the amount of like, hey, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, you know, Sky Moore, you know, these were all players that were under Connor Embry's responsibilities and duties, and none of those players really got marketably better. And that obviously includes Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, when we know they are very talented on the football field. If you can get a, you know, more qualified, dedicated, you know, I want to say like who can provide more accountability, but honestly, like just more solutions to what you can see on the field, that wide receivers coach can do a marketably, you know, seismic improvement for this pass catching group. Because one of the things that whoever that next coach is going to have to say, you know, this is what your quarterback prefers. Like, this is where the sideline is, Xavier Worthy. Hey, this is what teams are going to present to you if Rashee Rice is on the field next season. And whoever they draft, like, I still think, hey, you know, we didn't learn a ton about Jalen Royals, but I still think the Chiefs will probably draft a receiver, would be my guess, at some point, maybe the mid rounds in the draft. Hey, whoever that player is, like, you got to give them solutions. You got to give them ways to improve immediately. And it's understandable that, you know, for as much as people were clamoring, I know the receivers themselves were frustrated with, you know, their own position coach.
I never met Connor Embry before. I never met him. Other than favoritism or knowing the right people, connections, I don't know how he got the job that he has. I have absolutely no clue how he got the job that he has. I want to read to you guys Connor Embry's, his resume, his football resume. I don't know if Connor Embry's like pops is connected or I don't know any of that. I'm just telling you, I want to read to what we know, what has been done. Rob, he was the offensive coordinator at Blue Valley West. No shade on that. A lot of coaches start in high school. He then was the graduate coach, graduate assistant at KU. He then was the wide receiver coach at Fairview High School in Colorado. He then parlayed that into defensive assistant for the Chiefs. He then was the quality control coach for the offense. He then was the wide receiver coach for the Chiefs. He didn't even play wide receiver in the in college. He didn't even play wide receiver in college. He was a running back. I don't know how he got this job. I don't know what his qualifications were to get this job. I can completely understand how Connor Embry was not equipped to help Rashee Rice take his career to the next level. I completely understand why Connor Embry was not equipped to help Xavier Worthy get the most out of his game. I'm not one to question Andy Reid and Brett Veach and their infinite wisdom, but the fact that Todd Pinkston, who played wide receiver in the National Football League and is on their staff, was the running back coach and not the wide receiver coach, is they will never be able to explain to me how that makes any sense and how that job went to Connor Embry. It will never be clear to me on why that was the case. So I hate to see a man lose his job. I'm sure that Connor Embry is a fine individual. I'm sure that he is a good Christian man. I'm sure that he is. I'm sure he's a great person. I don't know how you got this job. Why are you here? Why do you work here? Please go.
I mean, from a strictly on-field perspective, by the way, also Todd Pinkston should be fired. I don't know why he's still employed, but that's a different conversation for a different day. Purely on field. I know the cut says at the end there, Nate says it and reports it, that the Chiefs wide receivers weren't a huge fan of Connor Embry. That's fine. Sometimes people don't like their boss. But the results speak for themselves. Is there a wide receiver that got better under his tutelage? Like, when MVS came here.
I'm not trying to be funny. I don't know how you can get. What are Connor Embry's qualifications to help you develop as a player?
I mean, and sometimes, like, every once in a while, like, it's a different analogy. But you get my point. Dabo Sweeney went from wide receiver coach to head coach. I would imagine people were like, huh? Dan Campbell from tight end coach to head coach. People went, huh? And then while on the job, he proved why he was worthy of that job. Connor Embry probably wasn't worthy of the job based on his resume. And then he got the job, and it all made sense that his resume didn't add up.
You're right. But I guess with Dabo, and I'm not arguing with you, but with Dabo, it is important to note, Dabo started as a position coach in 1996 and then worked his way up to being a head coach in college football in 2009. Dabo paid his dues. I don't know what dues Connor Embry paid. I have absolutely no clue what dues he paid. None. I have absolutely no clue. It seems to me like this was a favor because you knew his pops or you knew his moms or you knew somebody. This screams inside job to me. So I'm not surprised that Connor Embry was in over his head. I don't know how you can read his football career, how you can read his coaching LinkedIn, and then tell me that you're stunned it didn't work for him as a wide receiver coach and that he didn't have the tools to help you develop. You want to know why Eric Bieniemy is such a good running back coach and why you've seen guys to develop? He played running back in college. I don't got to look at what makes Eric Bieniemy qualified to do this. I'm not surprised that Jim Harbaugh is a good head coach. He was a really smart quarterback, and he took those skills, and now look at how he's using them. Connor Embry should be watching film, is what he should be doing. He should be chasing down coffee and taking people.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Orders. Instead, it was his responsibility to get the most out of Xavier Worthy. I'm not shocked that Xavier Worthy's career has not worked out. Let's talk about the Chiefs offensive coordinator search next. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on Kansas City's only FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
We were talking about Connor Embry. I want to play this audio for you guys one more time in case you missed it. I mean, there are three staff changes I want to see the Chiefs make. Offensive coordinator, one of them. I don't think that Matt Nagy is coming back. Second is wide receiver coach, Connor Embry, not coming back. Third, special teams coach, Dave Tope. You did a fantastic job for a long period of time. Your services are no longer needed. Here is Nate Taylor talking about Connor Embry. He says that he wasn't very popular as the Chiefs wide receiver coach.
From the day they traded Tyreek Hill away, they have yet to have a 1,000-yard receiver. And again, given the amount of like, hey, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, you know, Sky Moore, you know, these were all players that were under Connor Embry's responsibilities and duties, and none of those players really got markedly better. And that obviously includes Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, when we know they are very talented on the football field. If you can get a, you know, more qualified, dedicated, you know, I want to say like, who can provide more accountability, but honestly, like just more solutions to what you can see on the field, that wide receivers coach can do a marketably, you know, sizable seismic improvement for this pass catching group. Because one of the things that whoever that next coach is going to have to say, you know, this is what your quarterback prefers. Like, this is where the sideline is, Xavier Worthy. Hey, this is what teams are going to present to you if Rashee Rice is on the field next season. And whoever they draft, like, I still think, hey, you know, we didn't learn a ton about Jalen Royals, but I still think the Chiefs will probably draft a receiver, would be my guess, at some point, maybe the mid rounds in the draft. Hey, whoever that player is, like, you got to give them solutions. You got to give them ways to improve immediately. And it's understandable that, you know, for as much as people were clamoring, I know the receivers themselves were frustrated with, you know, on position coach.
And a large part of this is I think Connor Embry was just placed in a position. I think he was placed in a role that he's not equipped to be able to help you get out of these situations. If you look at his football background, I other than knowing the right people, I do not have a good answer of how he became a wide receiver coach, a position coach in the National Football League. Now, I get it. We say this. We tell this to kids. Sometimes it's not what you know. It's who you know. Sometimes it's who you are related to. You cannot look at Connor Embry's football career and tell me it is based on anything else other than who he knows and who he's been related to. You cannot tell me this. I'm seeing the text line. Well, what about this thing? Stop it. Stop it. No is the answer to me. I'm sorry. The Chiefs have wide receiver issues, and they need somebody equipped to help problem solve. I don't think you are equipped to help problem solve in these situations. Someone on the text line says, C-Dot, why are we blaming coaches now? Are grown men not to be held accountable? But this is where I disagree. It is your responsibility. It is your job to get the most out of the talent and the people under you. That's why you're there. That is what my program director is for. I go to him and he helps me. We go through things. We talk back and forth. That's his job. Your wide receiver coach. Andy cannot deal with everybody. You got 53 people. You got a whole practice squad. One person cannot be there for everybody. So yeah, this room is yours. And I think you see there are certain people that when you put them in charge of certain position groups, you see the fruits of their labor. Maybe Eric Bieniemy is never qualified to be a head coach. He is a really good running back coach. Well, Carrington, how do you know? I can look at the running backs he's been attached to, and I can see their career when they're away from him. And you are a guy who can see a guy, you see his potential, you notice and correct certain things, and you get the most out of that player. He's currently doing that with the Chicago Bears. So yeah, position coaches, somebody to bounce ideas off of, somebody to help spot mistakes. And yes, so I am blaming coaches 100%. Xavier Worthy does not have good football awareness and good football IQ. He doesn't know where the sideline is sometimes. I don't know if Connor Embry is the person that can help correct those things. And getting stronger at some of those positions, especially, I mean, we think they could potentially spend a top pick on a wide receiver. They could spend another second round pick on a wide receiver, depending on how the offseason plays itself out. I didn't feel comfortable enough handing the keys over to Connor Embry to help get you out of that situation.
I would agree. And I think the results speak for themselves. Like, I agree with the point of the texter. Like, I don't think this is high school or college where it's like, you know, we're trying to really teach you the fundamentals and make you go from a two-star kid to show out like a four-star kid. That's not the job of an NFL wide receiver coach, but it's to not have mistakes. It's to focus on the little things. It's to make a player, you know, thrive more in your environment than someone else's environment. And it wasn't just, you know, Xavier really not being able to stay in bounds. Kington, how many drops did Rashee Rice have this year? I know Rashee Rice is in the news for all the other reasons. It wasn't like his hands were super sticky in 2025. And by the way, he didn't play a full season in 2025, and he had slippery fingers. MVS had that problem under Connor Embry's tutelage. So, like, I understand the point of the texter. Like, the people in the room, the wide receivers, should have a little responsibility put on their shoulders. You should have done better. I agree. But if some of the mistakes are coachable, why wasn't the coaching fixing the mistakes? And they extend beyond just Xavier Worthy couldn't figure out where the sidelines were. There were mistakes beyond that in that wide receiver room.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, please stop doing this to the poor kid. He's down and you're kicking him. This man is older than Rob. But you're right. My bad. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be disrespectful to the professional football head coach who was making six figures. You're right. I apologize. I won't do that. Let's move on from Connor Embry. Good luck to Connor Embry and whatever the next phase of his life is. I hope that he does really well. I hope that he lands on his feet. He got a great degree from the University of Kansas. I hope that he uses it. I wish him nothing but the best and blessings in the next phase of his life as a 35-year-old man. I want to play this audio for you guys from Jimbo Fisher. You know what? The football gods can't bless Lane Kiffin. I've determined that over the course of the last month or so, that the football gods cannot bless Lane Kiffin. So I don't know if you guys know all of the backstory, but Lane Kiffin said that some of his coaches, so some of the Ole Miss coaches have agreed to go with him to LSU. Some of them have agreed. He is letting some of them coach in tonight's game. Some of them cannot coach in tonight's game. Lane, if you're going to let him do it, then let him do it. But Lane is just, he's just being Lane Kiffin. Here is Jimbo Fisher talking about it.
Selfish. That's what it is. It's stupid. And because here's why I say that. He wanted a coach and thought he didn't get his way. So everybody get on the plane with me. You don't have a job. All right? And he makes them all go. Then he gets down there and takes a PR hit because it looks bad that you really don't care about the kids. Then he says, okay, you can go back. Mm. But here's where he screwed up.
He thought they were going to lose.
He thought they were going to lose to Georgia. Exactly. And then the portal thing was all over with, and it was going to be all over with. And he said, okay, I'll look like a hero. Yeah. Now he's got egg on his face because the real Lane came back out. You know what I'm saying? And if those guys were allowed to coach the first game, they should be allowed to coach the fourth. Because those kids are doing something.
Yeah.
That you get one time in your life to ever do.
Literally.
That team and those guys, one time. And as a coach, listen, I know I've left a job. I get that. But if you took them on and said they're never coming back, that's fine. You set the rules of the game. You don't change the rules in the middle of the game. And as a coach, it's hurting the kids and it pisses me off.
I'm starting to not like Lane Kiffin. I've been kind of neutral on Lane, and sometimes I feel like people are kind of hard on Lane, and he kind of brings it on himself. But the way that he has handled his exit from Ole Miss, it's already a difficult situation. And in my mind, he has made it more difficult by just being a word I can't say. But I think he's been that for a very long period of time in this the whole situation. It was already difficult. His own selfishness, his own ego has made it far worse. And now approving some of your former coaches to work at Ole Miss and then not approving all of them to be able to do it. It just, I don't know why you are going out of your way to make it more difficult for Ole Miss as they are playing in the most important football game they have played since 1960. To a place that did nothing but love you, nothing but accept you. Lane Kiffin was on the outside of the club. He had been kicked out of the club. Ole Miss took a massive swing and chance on Lane Kiffin and was willing to make him the highest paid head coach in college football this offseason. They're willing to make him the highest paid head coach. And look at what he's done. That's just, I can't support this. The football gods can't support this. I now want to see Ole Miss win the national championship just despite Lane Kiffin for not being there. He can't win a championship at LSU. If you believe in karma, what goes around, comes around, and all that stuff, you can't wish the best for Lane Kiffin at LSU based off how he's done Ole Miss in his leaving.
I couldn't have said it better myself. I actually am taking a step further. I'm cheering against Lane in the portal. When Sam Leavitt said no, Brennan Sorsby, when Brennan Sorsby said no to his money, oh, it warmed my heart. Now he went to Tech where there was more money, but Lane Kiffin has found a way to make the college football semifinals, which should not be about the coach of LSU because they're not in this. He has made the college football semifinals about him, and it's really annoying. Charlie Weiss Jr. is going to be the offensive coordinator at LSU. He's currently the offensive coordinator at Ole Miss. You know what he's doing tonight? Coaching. The running back coach. I don't know his name off the top of my head. He'll be next year's running back coach at LSU. He is currently the running back coach at Ole Miss. You know what he's doing tonight? Coaching. But there are other assistant coaches who are in the same boat. They're on the Ole Miss staff. They are departing for LSU, and yet they can't coach tonight. It doesn't make any sense, and it just feels like we have to keep asking Pete Golding this, and he doesn't really have an answer, and Lane Kiffin keeps walking around in basketball games with recruits and hanging out with Kim Mulkey, and everyone's talking about Lane Kiffin, and he's on the sidelines of the LSU bowl game, but then he leaves because he's got to go. It's just Lane Kiffin has made this about Lane Kiffin, and it's really annoying, really annoying.
I will say this. This is where I do like Lane Kiffin. And I think deep down, a lot of us feel this way. Sometimes you just want to see the villain succeed. You know, like part of why I like The Dark Knight, Rob, is I think a very different reason of why you like The Dark Knight. You want to know why I like The Dark Knight? It's because I was sitting there the whole time trying to figure out how Batman was going to stop this guy because that guy seemed too powerful for Batman. He did. He seemed too powerful. Like, I hate superhero movies because I think they all have the same formula. Bad guy pops up. This thing happens. Superhero comes in, saves the day, gets the girl. I can't do the same storyline. That's why I like it. You want to know what we don't have enough of in sports anymore? We just don't have enough villains. Everybody's so brand conscious. Everybody is on social media, so you just get waves and waves at it. Like, nobody wants to be the bad guy anymore. You know what I do like about Lane Kiffin? I want to be the bad guy. Lane Kiffin is openly stealing another team's quarterback while sitting courtside at a college basketball game with another quarterback. Like, we all know that college football is dirty, and like none of us really want to know how the sausage is made. Lane Kiffin really seems to be the only person that just openly embraces it and says, I don't care. Yes. It's dirty, and I might be the dirtiest, but I'm here to win. I'm not here to make friends. There is a part of me that kind of appreciates that about Lane Kiffin. We need people like Lane Kiffin. That's what makes sports talk interesting. Everybody in sports talk can't be Russell Wilson. You know, happily married, religious guy, good father, good husband. Everybody can't be that way. No, it's not fun when everybody's that way. I like when there's a little resistance. I like when there's some nonsense going on. Not like in a harmful way. I mean, Lane's not hurting anybody. Lane just only cares about himself. So there is a part of me that likes Lane and likes that he is embracing that he is the villain.
I don't disagree with you, but he's not supposed to be in this story. He's exited the story in chapter 5, and yet somehow he's still the villain in chapter 8 and 9. The villain story of him is next season when he's at LSU. He chased the money. He's bringing in the big recruits via the money. All those things you said is next year's top storyline in college football. It's Arch Manning at Texas, Lane Kiffin villain era at LSU. Why is that story happening now? LSU's not playing games. They're not close to playing games. LSU's not trying to steal Ole Miss players, or if they are, we just don't know about it yet. The portal closes in a week, so we'll see. Lane Kiffin has found a way to put himself back in the story when he currently shouldn't be in the story. I'm cool with him being the villain on September 1st. It's January 8th. Your team is doing the same thing that Kansas, Missouri, and Kansas State are right now. Recruiting. Don't need to be a villain at this point in the story.
Let's switch gears just a little bit here. I want to play this audio for you guys. This is Nate Taylor. He was on Fesco and Dusty earlier in the morning. And given his thoughts, here's the latest on Rashee Rice.
I want to make it very clear to the audience that, like, there's been no police report filed for domestic abuse, whether that's in Dallas, Texas, which I believe is where she lives now, and obviously in Kansas, which is where she lived over the past, you know, couple of seasons. It's really grim. Football obviously takes a third, fourth step back to all of this, but if the allegations are true, if there's evidence to corroborate what she said, then it spells doom for Rashee Rice's football career, in my opinion. And so we'll just keep on it in terms of the reporting and see if she comes forward with the police report. That is yet to happen. But, you know, it's just domestic violence is terrible. We all know this. It's horrific. The damage it does to the victims, the fact that there are two children involved, basic tragic in a lot of ways. So just honestly terrible based on the appearance of it. Now we're just going to try to see, and I know the NFL is involved. The Chiefs are aware of this. We should probably make that clear too. Mm-hmm. You know, they're probably trying to gather as much research or as much information and evidence as we can, or the public will hopefully be interested in demanding as this moves forward.
I want to be clear before we start this conversation. I think this is like a really minor thing. I don't think this is a big thing. I don't think that this is a indictment on this person's character. I feel like that's a very important disclaimer to give before we have this conversation. But with that said, I cannot believe that Travis Kelce, who is in the most high profile relationship in the world. Think about that. Travis Kelce is in the most high profile. There is not a relationship between two people that is more discussed in the world on a day-by-day basis than the one that he is currently engaged in. I cannot believe that this season he wore a free Rashee Rice shirt. I cannot believe it. I couldn't believe it at the time. What's that saying that they have on social media? This age like milk in the sun. I can't. It blows my mind that this happened. This blows my mind how the people around Travis Kelce who love him on a personal level, the people who are very associated with Travis Kelce on a business level. I don't know how somebody didn't say, hey, big dog, come here real quick. Big dog, come here. No, you can't wear that shirt. You can't wear that shirt. Well, why? I'm part of the team. You can't wear that shirt. Juju Smith-Schuster can wear that shirt. Hollywood Brown can wear that shirt. Xavier Worthy, Jalen Royals, you cannot wear that t-shirt. No, I don't care how cool you want to seem with your teammates. I don't care how down you want to appear to be with. No, you cannot put that shirt on. There cannot be a picture of you on the internet of you walking around with a free Rashee Rice shirt. It looked goofy in real time, especially given the connotation of what free fill in the blank means. And now in the face of all of this, like, why did you even do this from the very, very beginning? Again, this is a very minor thing, right? Like, Travis Kelce, you didn't do anything. You wearing the shirt is not the worst possible thing you can do. But now, like, in hindsight, thinking of, like, all the ridiculous things that happened during the 2025 season with the Kansas City Chiefs, and trust, it was a lot of ridiculous things that happened. The fact that one day them as a pass-catching unit walked on the field with free Rashee Rice shirts is one of the more ridiculous things that happened this season.
I agree. We talked about the time, and now I don't for a second believe that Travis Kelce was aware of the allegations at the time and still wore the shirt. I don't believe that. But just even at the time, the messaging by wearing that shirt was bad. You know who you didn't see in that shirt? Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is extremely brand conscious. Like, very brand conscious. Not talking about, like, his Adidas or Essentia. I'm talking about him as a brand. That same day that the wide receiver group and the pass catcher were wearing the free Rashee shirts, he was not. That does not mean he's, you know, not a good teammate. That does not mean he knew something. He just protected his brand. And it felt like at the time, Travis Kelce didn't understand the magnitude of his brand. But it is going to, that photo from week whatever that was, five or whatever, is going to continue to age like milk in the sun if these allegations about Rashid turn out to be true. It was surprising then. It's going to look worse over time.
Yeah, and I mean, I understand. Like, people on the text line are saying he obviously didn't know all this at the time. Someone else says, I agree he shouldn't have worn it, but he's not wearing it today. Now, I don't know if Travis Kelce will ever be in a situation, but one of the a question for Travis Kelce is, do you regret wearing the shirt? That's a question I would ask Travis Kelce. Hey, you wore this. Do you regret wearing it? I don't think he'll ever put himself in a position to be asked that question, but that is a question. I had this feeling at the time. I still have it now. I don't really know why they wore it as a team. I really don't know why he wore it of all of the people that wore the shirt. It never really made any sense to me why he ever signed up to wear that t-shirt.
And by the way, we're not trying to drag Travis Kelce. All the players who wore it looked
stupid.
It was
dumb. It was dumb from everybody.
It looked dumb at the time before we knew
about
these
things. I'm actually shocked that Andy let them wear that shirt, honestly.
That's the biggest surprise.
Like that should have been a conversation that should have been higher up.
It's one thing if, like, the "In Spags We Trust" t-shirt goes out there. That's whatever. To insinuate that Rashee Rice was somehow wrongfully suspended by the league from his vehicle incident, and then all the pass catchers a week before his return, or maybe it was week one when they were at Arrowhead, week two, excuse me. It was bad optics then. The optics don't appear to be getting better over time. It was dumb then. It's dumber now.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about the Chiefs' offensive coordinator position. Right now, the Chiefs don't have an offensive coordinator. There have been a couple of names who have popped up. Nathan Shieldhouse is somebody who has popped up. He is a passing game coordinator with the Los Angeles Rams. Mike McDonald, who was the head coach for the Miami Dolphins, he is available now as a candidate. Cliff Kingsbury's name has popped up. So there's been a lot of names who have popped up over the course of the last 24 hours or so. We'll get to those coming up on the other side. And Rob, let's pick who we have winning the college football game tonight. We'll get to that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I didn't think about this until just now, and that's my fault. Sometimes you just got to see somebody else type it out. There is a possibility, we are not here, but it is a possibility that this offseason the Chiefs are going to need to find running back one, wide receiver run, and tight end one all in the same offseason. There's a chance. I mean, they're certainly going to have to find RB1. That's not really much of a question, in my opinion. They don't have RB1 on their team. I mean, Isaiah Pacheco's contract is up. Kareem Hunt's contract is up. Elijah Mitchell. Like, they only have one running back currently right now under contract, and it's Breshard Smith, who they only gave carries in two games. They were two games against the Las Vegas Raiders this season. So they are going to have to do something at the running back position. There is no question about that. The Chiefs are potentially in a position this offseason where they are going to have to find their number one running back. They're going to have to find their number one pass catcher, which has been Travis Kelce for the last 10 years. And they could also be in a position where, heading into week one of the NFL season, their number one wide receiver is no longer on the team. Like, we already knew they had a lot to find this offseason. We already knew that. They could quite possibly be in a situation where they have even more to find out. They got a lot of major holes going into the offseason. They need more pass rush. They could possibly need another wide receiver. They might have to replace their number one tight end. They got to find the new running back. They got to create depth in these kind of places. Like, they're going to have to really get going this offseason. And they only got 6 draft picks, so they only got a limited amount of swings that you can take. Now, I mean, it's 6 right now. They can always trade back, and this thing can happen. Like, I'm going to guess that they are going to select more than six players in the NFL draft. But you're going to need to find two or three starters potentially in the NFL draft. You're going to have to be really smart and diligent when it comes to free agent dollars and how you want to fill this roster. You have a situation that has now come up with Rashee Rice that you weren't expecting. You know, like, you got money in your emergency fund, but I mean, man, you weren't counting on your transmission blowing out. Now you got to take money. You got to move some stuff around. Like, this was not an issue that you were planning on dealing with. This is not something that we talked about a couple of months ago. Hey, what are the Chiefs going to need to do this offseason? A conversation wasn't, I'm not sure if Rashee Rice is going to be on the team. Or if you had that conversation, it was because you thought they were going to get a third round pick. He ain't worth that right now. In fact, no team is listening to a trade possibility right now for Rashee Rice until we get far more clarity on what his situation is going to be. So I hadn't really thought about it, and not at least in that context, until I saw it just now on social media. But they are 100% right. We could be heading into this next 45 days as we get ready for the start of the league year, where they are going to have to turn over their offense even more than we had anticipated them having to do.
I don't mean to trivialize the situation with Rashee Rice by speculating, but let's say Travis Kelce wants to come back and play football, and let's say that a suspension or something is looming for Rashee Rice that prevents him from playing football, or the Chiefs cut him, the league suspends him for something. Would you be now open to giving Travis Kelce more money than you were previously this week? Because Monday, Tuesday, your stance was pretty simple. I'm cool with Travis Kelce coming back. You know, it's fine, but the number has to be just right. If the number isn't just right, we have to move on. He's a 36-year-old tight end. He can't be making, you know, top five tight end money. He can't be making $12, $13, $14 million. It's a bad allocation of funds. I agree with you. Now, things have changed. Are you willing to give Travis Kelce $10, $12, $11, $13 million if there is a chance Rashee Rice is not in the fold? Because going into an offseason with potentially needing wide receiver one, running back one, tight end one, offensive coordinator, that's a big offensive to-do list, and we haven't even addressed the fact this team needs edge and probably is going to need a cornerback to go alongside Trent McDuffie, who some of you want to trade, so it might be two cornerbacks next offseason. That's a pretty big to-do list. Has your, you know, thought on paying Travis Kelce pivoted just a little bit with new information regarding Rashee Rice?
That is a very fair question. The answer for me is no, but I do think it has changed for them. This is pure speculation on my part. I don't know, and I don't think anyone can answer. If Travis feels like he could play, could you see him coming back because he doesn't want to leave Patrick Mahomes high and dry? Like, could you see a scenario in which he is looking at the rest of their roster, he is looking at the changes, and he is thinking, man, I want to be there for my guys. I want to be there for my brothers. I want to come back for one more season and help in this transition for me to then step back and move to the side. Because let's say that all three of these things happen. Like, let's go down this thought process. We know they need another running back. Like, that's not a debate. They don't have a running back. They could quite possibly need another tight end. Man, they got to figure out a lot of yards from last year. You got to figure out the 850 yards you got. You're going to need a running back that you think could run for 1,000 yards. And you got to replace a guy with Rice that I know didn't have the big kind of season. But I think we would agree, if Rice is healthy for a 17-game season, he's a guy that you think can get 1,000 yards, 1,100 yards. Man, it's hard to line up and find all three of those things in the exact same offseason. Or you just better be willing to just spend crazy amount of money in free agency, which we don't know if they're willing to do that because they got some of the other things they need to take care of. So could you see a situation where possibly Travis Kelce comes back? It's not even related to, I want to end my story on some fairy tale. We win the championship. This one's for John, and now I'm out of here. But I want to be part of the transition and making sure that this place is solid and settled by the time I make my decision that I'm done playing football. Maybe in a weird roundabout way, this makes it more likely that he comes back next season.
I think if we're going to go down this rabbit hole, I do think it makes it potentially more likely. Now, we will see. Like, I also think it's worth noting, I don't know we're going to see the league or the Chiefs, barring new information, act on Rashee Rice anytime soon. I think it's going to be, we have the Instagram allegations, we're waiting on potential news with, you know, police reports, et cetera, et cetera. But unless new news comes out, I don't know the NFL or the Chiefs are making any actionable decisions on Rashee Rice anytime soon. But if they did, I think you have to entertain Travis Kelce coming back for everything you just said. And we talk about how there are March and April problems and October and November problems. Man, right now, the list of things the Chiefs need, like on their grocery list, are expensive. And expensive problems are not all solvable in March and April, especially in a salary cap league. And I'm not saying tight end is going to break the bank. You're going to sign Kyle Pitts to five for 100 or whatever. But you probably need a wide receiver regardless of the Rashee Rice situation because you're losing Hollywood Brown. You definitely need a running back. Like, you need a edge rusher. You need a defense. Like, those are expensive. It's not like they need a punter and a long snapper this offseason. That's an expensive grocery list of things you need to get done.
And I think to make this analogy very relatable, let's say you got a bunch of different things. You can't solve them all in one paycheck. Like, it is not realistic to think that you could find your number one running back, replace your Hall of Fame tight end, possibly go find another wide receiver number one. You got to fix the pass rush issue. You got to solidify right tackle. It ain't possible to do all that in one offseason. I don't care how good your general manager is. You are not building all of those things up. So maybe this is the conversation that the Chiefs next year, they can be a playoff team next season, but maybe they're a playoff team in the same way that the Chargers are this year. The Chargers, I don't know many of you are picking the Chargers to go to the Super Bowl, but they won double-digit games. They got a good quarterback. They got a chance. And they go win a playoff game. Maybe they win two, but you don't see them as a true Super Bowl contending team. Maybe next year the Chiefs are San Francisco, a good team. Hey, they were a little bit banged up, but they did a good coaching job. They kind of turned things around, and you got to continue to replenish the roster. Maybe that's what the Chiefs are. Maybe the Chiefs in one offseason, we are not just return to normal. The normal has been the Chiefs have the highest standards of anybody. We're having Super Bowl or bust level conversations. We're having conversations like if they don't host the AFC Championship game, then the season is a failure. Maybe that just can't be the expectation you go in because, to your point, you got big-time needs. This ain't like you need an outside linebacker. This isn't like, oh, you need one D-tackle to solidify things. You need a 1,000-yard running back. You got to replace a Hall of Fame tight end. You got big-ticket items that you got to replace. And I just don't know if you can replace all those things at one time.
I think this offseason will be fascinating from this regard, and it kind of in the vein of what you're saying. I think how the Chiefs address their needs, like, and by how, I mean the players. If they bring back Hollywood Brown and they, you know, sign a Noah Gray tie, like, I think how they address these needs will affect what our expectations are for the Chiefs next season. Because as it currently sits, now, we have a whole offseason. We haven't even started the offseason yet. But as it currently sits, I don't know how you can say the expectation next year for the Chiefs are Super Bowl or bust. They're picking in the top 10. And if they address their needs with depth type pieces, this is no disrespect to Mike Edwards, but if they don't go get a wow, we got to stop the, if they do what the Royals did this offseason, not bad moves, but like, hey, on the margins type of moves, then you can't be talking about them about Super Bowl or bust next year. Now, if they get like Jeremiah Love and then they sign Daniil Hunt, like, we can change things. But as it currently sits, they are not Super Bowl expectations.
I know we're having this conversation in January and we have a lot of time. How the Chiefs handle the first 5 days of free agency will tell me how viable they think they are in winning a Super Bowl. How viable they are. If the Chiefs are major players in day one and day two of free agency, that tells you they're loading up to take another swing. They think Mahomes is going to be there at the very beginning of the season, and they are taking a big swing. If the Chiefs are not major free agency players, and they're relying more on depth pieces and through the draft, then yeah, you're 100% right. That team's not thinking Super Bowl in 2026, and there is a much larger play at hand. Let's continue our Chiefs conversation coming up on the other side. Let's talk about offensive coordinator. The Chiefs have an opening right now. Who do you think could potentially fill that opening at offensive coordinator? We'll get to it. Keep it right here on 96.5 The Fan.